Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time of the season. The boys of summer, the Metal Hammer of Doom. And one ogre that we currently have on the show. Jesus, calm down. All right. Wait, can I get through the intro?
That made me queasy.
All right. Can I get through my intro, please? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Metal Hammer of Doom, and I am your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And that grousing you hear in the background, that ill-temperedness, that man who won't admit his love for Nickelback, is Robert Cooper. How do you do, sir?
I'm fucking afraid.
What?
I said, I am on the clock. This is wonderful.
Okay. And here's a man who's always on the clock, the disapproving dad, Jesse Starcher. Jesse, how do you do, sir?
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Robert Cooper calls in while working? This is amazing. Now, understand, he did this for Nickelback. Wow, your dedication for Nickelback is amazing, Robert Cooper. We appreciate it.
Yes, it's an amazing thing that you want to talk about Nickelback so much that you called in while you were working.
We appreciate it, though. That's for damn sure. I was just giving Mark a hard time saying, damn, motherfucking Coop better call in tonight. And you got in here right at the beginning. He is at a loss for words, or he is handling a transaction with a customer right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
what he's doing.
It's sound keeps cutting out. The sound keeps cutting out on me. I don't know why.
Are you deep within the bowels of Lowe's right now?
I'm in the back of the department. Hey.
Yeah, buddy. That's what she said.
Well, we're gonna do the best that we can, and hopefully the sound issues for Robert will improve and he can be engaged in the conversation. Speaking of engaged.
I don't know why. Do I just sound like I'm in a tunnel or something?
No, you sound fine, dude.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know what's up then, because like y'all keep cutting out on me and it's getting on my nerves. Doesn't love me.
Super. All right. Let me ask you a question, Jesse. Now, I've been talking about this all year since I learned that Nickelback was going to be releasing an album called Feed the Machine on June 16th. Do you hate Nickelback? Have you not really heard them? What is your relationship to these Canadian rockers?
What was it? They really blew up like in 2001. Was it 2000 or 2001 where they really took and caught fire? And I became somewhat, I wouldn't say a fan, but I mean, I downloaded the album. I had a few songs on there that I really enjoyed listening to, but I actually liked Silver Side Up, I think is what it was. I liked that album. The thing is that it wasn't a band that grabbed me and made me go, okay, hey, you got to listen to what the next album is and the next album after that. I completely dropped off shortly after that album. So I know who Nickelback is. I don't think there's too many out there in the world who does not know who Nickelback is. So it, for myself, I know who Nickelback is, and I'm not the biggest fan, but I don't hate them. I don't hate them like many people we know. I'm kind of ambivalent, but it's, you know, oh boy, we got some stuff to talk about tonight.
Let me tell you about my relationship to Nickelback. So back when they blew up because of a song called "This Is How You Remind Me," which, you know, I thought it was a fine song and everything, but it did not interest me. It did not get me interested in the band. But there was this one girl I was trying to sleep with who was desperately trying to convince me that Nickelback, one, was better than the one song, two, was a great band in general, that I should give them a chance. And I didn't want to sleep with her after that.
Oh, wait a second now. Ruining relationships? You're going to blame that on Nickelback, huh?
I wouldn't call it a relationship. But... Yeah, this girl was like, and it was funny because like I had never really heard of Nickelback until "This Is How You Remind Me" blew up, and she was like, "Oh yeah, they've been around for years," and I'm like, "They suck. They sound terrible," and she's like, "No, they're great. You should give them a chance." And I'm like, "I'm suddenly less interested in you." Robert, why do you hate Nickelback so much? What's your problem?
I just wouldn't give them a penny back.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh yeah. Well, okay. Here's part of my annoyance with them. It's I don't like drunk mom rock very much.
Drunk mom rock.
That is how they remind me. Like seriously, they play the music that's like it's got like a little bit of an edge to it to remind the moms that were like teenagers in the 80s, like what's up. But otherwise, all the shit is it's. It's really just toothless rock music for moms when the babysitter's home or at the house to go out and drink and feel cool. Hey, look, there's a guy. Okay, what's going on here?
Yeah,
hello, Matt.
Don't get me wrong. What little I've listened to Nickelback made me ashamed of white people. But, you know,
my goodness. You guys have never spent – a whole lot of, and this is not an insult in any way, shape, or form, but I'm sure that you haven't spent too many times in a backwoods bar listening to somebody play "This Is How You Remind Me" or any other Nickelback hit over and over and over as you shoot pool and drink your Coors Light.
Mountain Dew.
let me tell you how much that sounds like a fucking nightmare. Every word that you just described.
Right on the border. I was right across the border from West Virginia. That's where I certainly heard a lot of Nickelback back then in 2001, 2002.
Almost heaven, West Virginia. Blue
mountains,
Shenandoah River. I'd rather hear that than Nickelback. All right. Well, It is the summertime blues here on the Metal Hammer of Doom, and I want it. Look, this podcast is all about giving metal a chance, and I know that sometimes we drift away from strict metal and we look at hard rock and we look at some of the other sub genres of
metal. This is definitely sub genre. It is not dom genre.
But I wanted to give this album a fair shake. You know, I'm
sure,
long
sure
long
you did.
Since
you had no intention of making us suffer through this and discuss it with you in hopes that our ratings go up because we're going to eviscerate this album.
Look, I'll be honest with you. I didn't hate this album. Some of it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, but I've heard worse, okay? You know, we keep playing this.
Nickelback! Nickelback! Well, I wouldn't give you a penny back!
Oh!
Okay, so, like, Surgical Meth Machine was one of the worst things I've ever heard. It's better than Surgical Meth Machine. Quite frankly, it's also better than last year's, you know, Rob Zombie's Everyone's Fucking in a UFO.
Ooh,
album.
Yeah.
Hey, that was the one saving grace. You know what? That album made it through, or that song was, I was like, all right, that was worth it. That song made that forgettable, shitty album worth it. But, I mean, at least I felt like this album just kind of, like, the first two songs, they all right. And then past that, I'm like... Oh, Mom. Hello there, Mom Rock. How are you today?
It's classic Nickelback.
Those
I wouldn't give them a penny back.
All righty. Those tracks 3 and 4 are some of the silliest songs I've ever heard. But I have to say, the album is a mixed bag, but I don't hate it. It's not the worst album I've ever heard. So I'm giving them a fair shake. If there's one thing I think we can say about this podcast is that we are fair in our assessments. We are willing to give an album a fair shake. That we're not just going to simply dismiss it out of hand just because it's fucking Nickelback and we wouldn't give you a penny back. So, with that, ladies and gentlemen, drink every time we say that phrase.
Oh, please, please do. Anytime the clip hits, anytime we say the phrase, you'll be drunk by song 3. And it'll probably, by song 3 might sound just fucking great by then. So, drink up.
I don't think even alcohol can save Song on Fire. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But these first two tracks are actually not too bad. In fact, I've already chosen Coin for the Ferryman as this album's contribution to my Best of 2017 mix. But
nice.
We're gonna start with the title track of this album. This is track 1. This is Feed the Machine. So the drums are pretty standout on that track. You know, like I said, I didn't hate it. Again, my experience with Nickelback has been, as Rob put it, you know, mom rock, you know, figure it, toothless, hard rock. And look, I'm not going to say they turned into Slayer all of a sudden, but that was a pretty heavy
track. Oh,
that's
kind of toothless, too.
Yeah. I have to say, this first track here is a pretty heavy drumming. Not bad for, you know, for the kind of music that makes white people want to get up and dance and embarrass the rest of us.
You mean the rest of us white people or just the human race?
The human race.
Okay. I mean, I thought this song was it's just clarifying. I thought the song was, it's one of those like for Nickel.
Yeah.
So, Jesse, what did you think?
Oh, man. Well, I didn't mind. I think it's a good one of the best tracks off of the album, in my opinion. I think it's a good starter. It's definitely something that stood out to me. I remember, I think this was the was this the first single that dropped?
I believe so, yes.
Because I remember you sharing at least one because you know you wanted to hear us groan for at least a few months before we got to this.
Oh yeah, because he just savors that that salt. He's like, oh, tasty.
Yeah, so I remember listening to it and thinking, it ain't too bad. Okay, well let's see how the rest of the album goes. I'd be really surprised if it keeps this pace up and keeps me smiling. So.
And just like me, just like how I am with my parents, I did not keep them smiling.
Didn't keep them smiling. And unfortunately, well, we'll get to that. But yeah, as for track one, Feed the Machine, I'm okay with it.
Okay. Robert, you kind of got cut off there. Was there anything you want to try one more time? Okay. Let's go.
Are you talking to me?
Apparently, really
I thought I put it on. I thought I put it on speaker because I was putting a big old board up, and then I was like, "Where the fuck did the sound go?" Oops. Yeah.
Would you like to add anything else about this first track, sir?
Well, I mean, it wasn't inoffensive. It's one of those songs like. If I had a best of list for this year, it wouldn't go on there because it's Nickelback. But for Nickelback songs, it's not quite. Side of a Bullet is their best song for me by far. It's the Dimebag tribute. After that, it's kind of goes south like a drunk mom at a Nickelback show.
It's a song about politics, which is not something that I'm used to hearing from.
Well, you know,
Nickelback.
Politics are like the new cool thing.
I know. Well, yeah, you got to jump on that bandwagon. Well, you know,
you
got to
jump on the Trump. Jump on the Trump.
Jump on the Trump. Anti-government.
Could this be our Trumpiest album of the year? Could it be?
Well, but it won't be our Trumpiest album of the podcast, considering we had Viva Presidente Trump.
Yeah, I was gonna say, was it Brujeria? They had.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're coming to Charlotte soon.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I'm probably not going to see them just because.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll get there eventually, Marky. Don't you worry.
No, I had to give up my Primus tickets. I'm never going to another show again. I'm never going to dance again because CP have got no rhythm.
What the hell?
Somebody's got to pick up change.
No.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do it.
No, my life is over. I had to give up my Clutch and Primus tickets. No more concerts for me. Everything is over. I have no reason to get up in the morning.
Oh,
yeah, you've got this podcast.
I don't get up in the morning for this podcast.
Get home in the evening for this podcast.
This is what keeps them out of bed at night. This is what keeps them out of bed at night. Okay, right now he would be sleeping, guaranteed.
If it wasn't for my dedication to the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network, I would be in my bed right now, probably fast asleep. I can't make it past 10 o'clock half the time.
Mm. So I was going to say Melissa's probably just happy, so she gets to stay away from your nuclear taco farts.
Chew!
When you are married, you get used to each other. You get used to each other's farts. It's just part and parcel of the package, baby. All right. Speaking of nuclear farts, here is our second track. This is Coin to the Ferryman. Drunk White Girl, I think that was the greatest song I've ever heard.
Is that what you strive for, sir? You strive to be a drunk white girl?
That made my inner drunk white girl very happy. Earlier in the evening of it. Oh, yeah. There's right now, inside my body, is a drunk college girl lying on the bar floor waiting for someone to take her home.
You know, that is everybody. Everybody's got a little drunk white girl inside them. They want to get inside a drunk, or they want to get inside a drunk white girl. One of the two.
Well, who doesn't want to get inside a drunk white girl, right? Anyway, so I was running around the house before with this with this song playing, and I ran to my bedroom. My wife was just minding her own business. She's on the iPad. I stuck my butt in her face and started dancing to this song because that's what this song makes
Why
you want
to
do.
Why were you butt dancing to your wife?
What? Who doesn't want to butt dance to their wife? That's what marriage is all about, Robert Cooper. It's sticking your butt in the other one's face and doing in either, you know, passing gas or dancing. Right, Jesse?
You damn right. That's what marriage is all about.
Marriage is 50% sticking your ass in the other in your loved one's face.
I'm so unhappy. I just want you so unhappy with her life because my stepdad is like a fucking fart machine in real life.
This is what Nickelback does to people. It debases us to fart jokes, and I mean, it's just horrible.
But I wasn't dancing. I was dancing.
We're becoming slowly becoming rednecks. We're only on track two. We're slowly
but
becoming
I wasn't
rednecks.
Doing, no, you're accusing me of things I didn't do though. I was bitten by the groove. Okay, the rhythm got me.
Uh huh.
Coin for the ferryman made me want to get up and dance. So what better way to dance than to stick your butt in your beloved's face and do the mashed potato?
Sure. Coin for the ferryman has a very different sound than what I was expecting to hear from Nickelback. It really sounds more... Is electronica a good word to use, Mark?
I was going to go with industrial.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
that's where I was going.
It feels like that has a lot of elements of industrial in the song, which is just something I did not expect to hear. And it actually doesn't sound that bad. Now,
yeah, it works.
When you really break it down and analyze the topic of conversation that they're having here in the song, it's typical Nickelback fare, though. I mean, it's all about...
In what way?
Throwing caution to the wind, sir. Smoking dynamite.
Yeah.
Smoking dynamite.
We're smoking dynamite. We're
and
being
just...
all white.
They are, dude. They really are. We're kicking possums outside on the state route 9. I mean, come on.
This I found my sister and she wanted to go wide.
I don't know about all that, but dang.
I thought we were going full Monty there.
you took it too far, sir.
It is one of the best songs off the album, and it may possibly be the best song off of this album. I will give you that.
There. All right. I want to play these next two songs. And I have to say, look, I've been listening to music for a very, very long time. I grew up listening to East Coast rap and a little bit of West Coast with like Ice-T and whatnot. When I got to junior high and I'm among the white folk, I got introduced to Metallica and Motley Crue in high school. That's where I discovered Pantera and Sepultura, and really my music education took off. But even outside of the stuff that I listened to, there was always music playing in the house. I grew up on the sounds of the 50s and 60s, the doo-wop era. My father used to play folk music and Broadway show tunes in the house. I've talked about this before. That, you know, we've already made the gay jokes. It's fine. The point is, I've heard a lot of music in my lifetime. I've heard some very silly things. Sorry. I've heard some very silly songs in my lifetime, a lot of childish songs, but nothing, nothing is quite as dumb, quite as silly, quite as mind-numbingly stupid as the next two songs. And I don't know which one's worse. We'll talk about it.
It's up for debate.
Here's dumb song number one. This is Song on Fire. I mean, that's rough. I just set this song on fire. Oh, God. That's the kind of song where you just want a gang of black guys to rush the studio and beat the shit out of the band.
No, that's coming up.
From here.
Dude, I mean, this song, listen, I understand.
I don't
want to. A man can get emotional. A man can get emotional, okay? And he sits down and he's writing a song.
Song on fire. Please continue.
And, I mean, honestly.
I've never heard a song that made me want to cut myself before I heard this one. And I've, like, driven home really sad from work and, like, listened to Amy Mann and Tori Amos, you know, songs you really should be cutting yourself to, and none of them made me really want to hurt myself until I heard this. This is that terrible.
Like I said earlier on Facebook, this is a song about writing a fucking song, okay? Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Nickelback, for putting that into words for us.
Let me ask you a question, Jesse.
Okay.
Would you call that song unlistenable?
Absolute shit. Crap. Feces.
Yes, I would agree 100,000%.
Okay.
This is going to get radio play, though. That's what's bad. This is the song that's probably going to get next. It's going to get released next on the radio.
I fucking hate white people. All right. Speaking of hating white people, Robert.
Oh, fucking white people. This song is like, it's fucking sad, and not sad from like my dog died sense, but it's sad like you are a man. Quit your bitch in.
Don't you understand, Coop? I wish.
Song on fire.
Dude, have you ever wrote a song and started crying? I mean, to which he actually talks about in here when his tears hit the page, and then he gets so upset that he would light his old guitar on fire. He'd still hear the notes. He can't get rid of it.
You can't get rid of? Crabs.
Unfortunately.
Lighting his dick on fire.
Oh boy!
Yeah,
this is. I mean, look. Let me just talk about this song for a second. Other than it's the gayest thing I've ever heard. it's just lame. I mean, I understand they're going for like a ballad feel, but the lyrics are some of the most juvenile, some of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Juvenile, okay? Tie the pages to a plane and send it to the moon. The planes don't get to the moon. That don't make any sense.
Okay, Cooper's having some sort of condition over in the Lowe's. You know, my daughter is 6 years old. My daughter is 6 years old, and she'll just be off in the corner of the house, like, making up her own songs. And they won't make any sense, but, you know, I encourage her to be creative. I don't expect her to be Amy Mann at 6 years old writing, you know, these wonderful songs. But
ask her if she's ever seen a plane fly to the moon. Ask her if that's happened.
She's gonna
come out and tell you that she knows better. She knows better,
right.
Mark. Okay,
that's
but does Chad
with this.
Kroger
like,
know better?
She'll just sing these nonsense song lyrics that don't make any sense, and they're still better than "I just set this song on fire." I want to set this band on fire. Jesus Christ. But I don't even know if this song is as dumb as the next one. This next one, I mean, I was driving when I was listening to it for the first time, and I almost drove off the road. I was laughing so hard. That's how bad this is.
Oh, that's
and, like,
not healthy, Mark.
This wasn't like ha-ha, like, oh, they you know, like Weird Al funny.
Oh,
this
dude.
This is like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is a professional rock and roll band that actually, like, is signed and makes money, and this is not their first album, and they could write a song this stupid. This is Battleship Chains bad. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's bad. That is bad news.
This is right up there with the last Volbeat album. This is Must Be Nice.
Oh, God.
I have a theory. Someone gave this band a copy of a Clutch album, and they heard one of Neil Fallon's songs. And they were like, none of these lyrics make any sense. Like, we can write a song where the lyrics don't make any sense, too. And this is what they came up with, not understanding the appeal of Clutch or the level of brilliance in their lyrical content. This is a band attempting to ape the lyrical stylings of Clutch without understanding what makes that band that bad.
Incorrect.
That's my theory.
You are giving them way too much credit. Way too much credit.
Oh, I am, I?
Way
okay,
too
what's
much
your
credit,
theory, sir.
It's called. Let's see. What do they call it there? It's read along with, you know, everybody, the kids at the library. 6 o'clock on Wednesday.
Library.
it's a reading group.
I almost stopped the song when they got to, when they started Red Fish, Blue Fish, and I'm like, nope,
dude. I mean,
what?
Come on,
Red Fish, Blue. Oh, why couldn't they at least reference Horton Hears Who?
Okay, listen,
are
legitimately, you have they are referencing so much ignorant, like. I don't know. I don't even know where
green
to go.
Green ham, green egg.
I'm telling you, dude.
I have a question. I have a legitimate question because I honestly don't understand the culture. Is this what you white people want? Is this what makes white people happy?
I'm saying, do your thing. That is going to buy you a diamond ring. Yes,
is that
I just read from the lyrics page. That is what
is
I just.
Is that what makes young white people happy? Because I don't understand.
I'm not listening. I've not been paying attention to this song. Oh, no.
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Okay. Hang on.
Is Dr. Seuss even worse?
Cooper is missing the lyrical brilliance of this song. Please read the first verse of this song to Robert Cooper.
Okay, Robert Cooper, here we go. Are you ready? Try not to break out and
dance. But I'm ready.
Try not to break out and dance there in the middle of those. One step, two step, electric slide, red fish, blue fish, blow your mind. Engine, number 9. Mama's gonna let you set the moon on fire. Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Jack wound up with a broken neck. Humpty Dumpty,
what?
Do your thing. Daddy's gonna buy you a diamond ring.
I think I just felt my IQ drop.
This makes the Limp Bizkit lyrics seem like deep.
Like this, good God, like no, God, no wonder Trump won.
Somebody.
I'm telling you, this might be the Trumpiest album of the year.
Somebody. Did we have a change up in the lineup of the band just by chance? Because after this was brought to the table, somebody had to been like, I fucking quit. I'm done. I'm done.
They're not good enough for
band.
That.
Done.
Who are you kidding? Like, they're so creatively bankrupt. They were probably like, you know,
here's Dr. Seuss.
I think we might be on to something.
Let's. Yeah. All
right.
They got like all the Dr.
Jack
Seuss.
Jack be nimble.
Books.
Jack be quick.
Like, let's change it up. Though. Let's give him a broken neck. Oh, now we're edgy.
After hearing the songs back to back again, okay, I can declaratively say, "Song on Fire" may be the gayest song I've ever heard, but "Must Be Nice" is the dumbest song I've ever heard.
Oh, dude,
that is easily the worst thing I've ever heard. That is so bad.
There has to be a Nickelback Dr. Seuss meme. I'm looking for it right now.
I mean, they can say that "Someone Left My Cake Out in the Rain" is the worst song ever, but I would challenge those people to hear "Must Be Nice" and not come up with a different answer.
Someone left that cat out in the rain.
Thank you, Overkill.
I still haven't used that yet. I mean, the guy is a lyrical genius for bringing that to us, and I still haven't had the opportunity to use that in my everyday life. Damn it!
You haven't told people you work with that someone left your cat out in the rain.
I have not yet. I need to remember to
use
it.
I have not. Like, it'd be perfect.
I will,
everybody knows at my work that I have 18 cats because I keep trying to give them to me. And I'm like, gosh.
Well, they're just gonna think you're actually telling them a true story.
All right.
Tell
I really
more.
Do. Speaking of leaving your cat out in the rain, here's track 5. All right, we get less silly with this track, but not much. This is After the Rain.
Somebody left their cat out in it.
All your life.
Drunken white girls at the arena, just like, oh my God, this is my song, and like swaying and rocking out with their beer in their hand. You know, that's all I can picture with that song. Like, yes, After the Rain is a song written for drunken white girls at the arena. That's their song.
I'm telling you, dude. This is like the...
That is the Nickelbackiest song on this album
so far. I can't say anything else. That's exactly what I wanted to say.
Like, it is that, like, just boring, toothless, soft rock that just lets some fucking 14-year-old girl imagine, like, oh, yeah.
14-year-old, try, like, 30-year-old girl. There's some, I work with girls who would think that's like, the greatest song they've ever heard. It would, like, go to the show.
Because they're stupid
and
white people.
Yeah, and they'd have their lighter in one
damn
hand, their beer in the other. Fucking white people ruining everything.
Fucking what? Seriously, fucking white people.
Ugh. But yeah, that is the most white
middle-class
girl. That is the most white middle-class girl song I've ever heard. I think your description of it was absolutely perfect. It was the most Nickelbacky. Of the album. Yet.
Well, it's sad. We've got to give it its own fucking verb because, like, every, like, just radio hit they have is very similar to this. It's almost got that wistful sense of, like, nostalgia. God.
I'm just reading this comment by Jesse. Where the metal hammer of doom, blame Mark.
It's the truth. I'm trying to get Calandrus to listen, but he's like, no, because I'm trying to promote it. Some people out there, somebody's got to have some morbid curiosity as to see how the hell the Metal Hammer of Doom crew is going to review and contribute to.
Look,
Nickelback.
I was willing to give this album a chance. Maybe it wouldn't be so Nickelbacky. You know, and the first two songs I thought were good.
What did you expect?
I didn't expect
Runaway Train.
I'm sorry. I did not expect. I just set this dog on fire. Beep, 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 and then fucking, you know, engine number 9 on the New York Transit line. You know, I'm like, what the fuck?
Where did this come from?
Get a door. I'll make it fine. I don't know. Where's the cat?
Yeah, we're being awfully hard on middle class white girls who have no good taste in music. What do you think, sir?
You're asking me. No. We are certainly not. Any good white girl worth her salt knows better. I believe.
on dating sites.
Go ahead.
When girls are like, I like Nickelback, I'm like, Like, there's a few things that are big no-nos. One of them is, I like country music. I'm like, unless you got something else we could talk about, that's negative there, Ghost Rider.
All right, where are you going with this, Jesse?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, 15 years ago, things were different. It was a different time, you know, when Nickelback was coming out and they were really popular. I don't know, dude. I'm not a 30-year-old woman. I just know that my wife's not listening to this. My wife is definitely not listening to this stuff. So, she sure as shit wasn't coming to me saying, "Oh, we got to hear the new Nickelback album." So,
why? She wouldn't give them a
car
pennyback.
On her way to work, going, "I just set this song on fire. Oh, it's my song."
It's my favorite. It's my jam. No, thank you.
It's my jam. I'm in the door aisle right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Waka waka.
All right. Went.
Here we go. Track 6. This is For the River.
Crawl, I went to free. Gotta get out. Good, I gotta find one. Give me a key. time, but you're never gonna catch me.
I mean, I've heard worse. That's not a bad song. I mean, it's not great.
This is another. This song is so Nickelbacky. It's another song. Just sounds like fucking Nickelback.
No, I don't.
Yes, it does. They have their own little booty shaking groovy sound.
See, I think
I have listened.
You're absolutely. I mean, maybe when I think of Nickelback, oh, do tell, the metal coupe, Robert Cooper.
Hey, before I got metal, I was like, yeah, Nickelback, some hard stuff. Yeah, sure. And I listened to that entire song. Was it All the Right Reasons or something? I listened to that one like fucking
Can you start this all over again from the beginning? Are you being serious? You were at one time, you actually like in earnest listened to Nickelback, Robert Cooper?
Yep.
The metal coupe?
Oh, fuck, this is heavy. Yep. God damn it. Yes. Yes, I did.
Were you a girl at the time?
No, but I was 14 with little taste in music.
Right,
I was the exact – I was one of the two demographics. I was either 45-year-old white woman or teenager.
You were either.
Every teenager's like – like every fucking teenager –
like Schrodinger's cat
photograph. Like every fucking teenager was like, oh, my God, fucking photograph. That's so deep.
Okay.
Shit you not,
this
man.
Photograph. My son, my 7-year-old son knows that song because it's fucking memed the hell out.
Is he wondering what's on Billy's head?
The only photograph I'm aware of is the Def Leppard song. I don't know what you people are talking about.
Look at this photograph. Every time I hear it makes me laugh. Mine is so red. What the hell is on Joey's head?
I think you're making my cancer worse. What's that? That?
You're aggravating his cancer.
You're actually upsetting my cancer.
Oh, Nickelback.
Well, that's good, right? Isn't that how we get rid of it?
No, you're making it worse.
Oh, I see.
I can feel the
cancer could be worse.
Growing.
It could be hemorrhoids.
Oh, God.
Or it could be, what was it? Oh, do you remember that one time it was, they were like, oh, Jerry Lawler has to go, he's going to be out for the rest of the week. He's got anal bleeding.
Oh, shit.
And,
I remember
and fucking
that.
Booker T, it was like, and fucking Booker T just like looked at him like, Michael Cole, like, what the fuck?
Speaking
like,
of anal
like,
bleeding.
That's what they came up with?
Speaking of anal bleeding, let's get back to For the River. So your contention is that there are two kinds of Nickelback sounds. One is, you know, and one goes to what we heard before with the After the Rain, and then there's this other, like, more booty-shaking, harder-edged Nickelback sound that's For the
like
River.
It's like that harder edge
emblematic
with
of.
Some booty-shaking where it's got kind of like those staccatoed fucking the verses. Where they're,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? It's really quick, short, staccatoed verses that really don't mean a whole lot, but it's got enough where you can kind of shake your ass and bang your head at the same time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like that
well,
is.
I didn't realize.
I heard a few Nickelback songs like that.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize that when I decided we were going to do the show that I'd have on a real Nickelback expert like Robert Cooper. So
hey, you know what? Hey, you know what? Every time I hear photographs, all I can think of. Man, all I could think of is the fucking helicopters.
Okay.
And my friend
like
is just fucking dying because the damn Viet Cong.
You're speaking another language to me. I don't understand what the fuck you're talking about. You might as well be.
I don't get
I'm talking
either.
About getting Nam flashbacks.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Oh,
right.
God.
I see.
Okay. Let's, track 7. This is home.
This is fluffy.
Like home. I did what I did, can't see, man, I'm just a kid.
All I can picture is a giant vagina yelling Nickelback whenever I hear that song.
Take pictures. Okay. If you ever see that happen, that's interesting.
Just a big old giant vagina in the arena yelling out Nickelback. That's all I hear right now.
It is. I'm looking to try and figure out. I think at first I thought this was like a song about how he lost his woman and he was trying to, you know, and now things have changed and things feel so different and this house ain't a home. That's a country song. I know it is, but I don't know, man. It's more Nickelback. It's nothing that really tops the charts out of this album. That's for sure.
I will say this. That is yet another Nickelback-y song.
And yes.
If you were to play that song without telling me who the band was, I would have instantly guessed Nickelback.
Oh, you would absolutely know.
Who would you suggest?
That's the thing. It's like that song just screams Nickelback by a giant vagina.
Pretty much, but is that giant vagina about 45?
Yeah.
It shot out three? Is it giant because it shot out like six kids and like they're all being held by the babysitter?
Why?
I mean, I don't know. It's not my wife.
Why can't we just settle on it's a giant vagina yelling Nickelback and move on?
Well, because I wouldn't give that vagina its penny back.
Oh boy!
I'm looking through the lyrics of this song. This is more about this guy cheating, I think, on his wife.
Look out, Avril!
Well, I mean, I'll go ahead and read the beginning here. Lying awake, did it again for Christ's sake. Should have told her to go, and I know it. But she tasted like home. Yeah, she tasted like home. Ooh, getting down with that bean. I did what I did. Can't say amen. I'm just a kid. Saw the lie in my eyes. Couldn't hide it because she tasted like home. So I don't know. It sounds like he's giving himself the
business
for like cheating on his wife.
Or her vagina tasted like an apple pie. One of the two.
I mean, I guess when you get into it lyrically, it's a little bit more in-depth than what I thought it was. So,
you don't like the taste of apple pie vagi?
I don't even know where to go with that.
Taking a turn.
Neither did he. That's why I heard a song about it.
Oh, boy. So, moving on.
Apple pie.
Next?
Apple pie pie, apple pie, apple pie. Apple pie, vagina, vagina, apple pie.
I want to listen to that song over and over. Hey, you guys want to do a quick news break? You guys want to do a quick news break before we go to the next song?
Sure.
Have you guys seen the beef? Have you seen the beef between Corey Taylor and Chad here?
Why don't you break it down in 50 words or less? Go.
Okay.
Metal Sucks will tell us about it.
Well, okay, let's just talk about how, I guess originally, from what I could see, he had, I think Kroger had made, am I pronouncing that right, by the way? Like, Kroger's like the store? Is that how you guys would pronounce it, Chad Kroger? Okay, all right. It's not K. Roger, like my aunt used to call Kroger's down here in Marietta. She used to call it K. Rogers. Go down there to K. Rogers. Anyway, so apparently Chad had some things to say. He was talking about how, you know, good his band is. And, okay, fine. Somebody brought up Slipknot as a comparison in this interview, apparently. And so Chad called Slipknot Nickelback Light. And I also saw... I also saw where he made a comment about how they wear masks and, you know, music shouldn't be a gimmicky thing. Okay, all right.
We take that out back?
Yeah, sure. I'll do
that
too.
One in front of us? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yep, I'll get it. I'm going to take care of it. All right. And then, Corey Taylor fires back, apparently, and calls Chad, states that he says he gets along with the rest of the band pretty well, but he can never get along with Face Like a Foot. He doesn't refer to Chad as Chad. He refers to him as Face Like a Foot. So there's been a bit of beef, apparently, between the two, and it just came out recently. I'm talking like within the last couple of days. So,
let me get this straight. So Kroger compared Nickelback to Slipknot.
Nickelback?
He called them Nickelback Light. Are you kidding me?
The guys that wrote the Heretic Anthem. The guys that said 555 that I'm 666, what's it like to be a heretic? The guys that wrote People Equal Shit are Nickelback Light. The guys who wrote This Is How You Remind Me. This
we
is
just
what you're
listened
telling
to
me?
A song. We just listened to a song about a guy heading for the river because he broke out of jail. That's probably the hardest motherfucking Nickelback song I've ever heard in my entire life. Okay?
So
that is
when did Chad Kroger have a fucking stroke? Because there's no way he.
Well, at least we know
that
the music isn't. At least we can blame the shitty music on his lack of hearing.
Yeah, no,
because he's
got to
be having fucking hearing damage to hear that.
Dude,
like you know what? That sounds like me.
One guy be.
He apparently had challenged Slipknot to write a hit. So why don't you write a hit song?
Oh, that's not cool.
How about fucking wait? Hang on. They did write a hit.
Duality.
Wait and Bleed. It did. Duality.
Duality
was
a good one. Fucking Before I Forget, Vermillion was got some radio play.
Mm-hmm.
Psychosocial.
Yeah.
Listen to this quote. Listen to this quote. They had to put on masks and jump around. How good can your music be if you've got to beat each other up on stage? Throw up in your own.
You know how
throw
good,
up in your own mask
you know how,
every night. Hold
you know
on.
How
hold
fucking
on.
Good.
Hold on. I mean, music shouldn't come with a gimmick. Music should just be music. Said the voice behind Something in Your Mouth. Yeah, you remember that great Nickelback song?
No, I
do.
I don't because I don't listen to shitty music.
You know what? You know what's even better about that? This is coming from the guy who, when he played in fucking Central America, they got pelted with rocks so much they just had to leave. You remember that? They got fucking pelted with rocks. The drummer, tried to be like, oh, come on, man, that's not fucking cool, and they just kept pelting him. So the drummer, he was gone. He's like, fuck this, I'm done.
Oh,
like, yeah, they
wow.
got fucking pelted with rocks. I mean, that is pretty much Nickelback in a nutshell, because, I mean, I wouldn't give them a penny back.
Face like a drink. Face like a foot. All right. Moving on. Don't we have the rest of this great album to talk about?
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm afraid I'm going to catch whatever fucking disease this Chad Kroger's caught that makes him think that Slipknot's a lighter band than fucking Nickelback. Yikes.
I mean, that's what Something in Your Mouth is about, right?
Just put it in your mouth, in your motherfucking mouth. Anyway, this is The Betrayal, Act 3.
Oh, fuck.
It's like he didn't use enough of his fucking fingers to count.
All right, here we go. The Betrayal, Act.
We're already on 3. Dude.
I think it's 3.
3.
Where are the other two? Oh, shit. We'll get to it. God, I'd love to see Slipknot do something like this.
Hey, this reminds me of Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Oh, yeah. Except
that song was good.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Groove time.
you can't deny it picks up. That's probably a pretty heavy song for these guys.
For these guys. Yeah, it's not bad. It's
all right, there you go.
It's not bad.
Marcus Stone soured.
I'm putting on the Ritz when you're blue. Putting on the Ritz. Anyway, yeah, put down your Ritz. Yeah, I'm just like, at this point, I'm just so negative on this band and this album. It's hard for me to even acknowledge when they do something halfway decent. And,
Redfish, Bluefish.
You're right. Redfish, engine number 9. I've got pants and time for time. I set myself on fire with turpentine.
Smoking dynamite.
Mommy goes home and gets drunk on wine.
Hey, I think that was probably cut out from the actual song. Because, hey, you could just put about anything you wanted to in there, and it's going to work. If Redfish Bluefish works, I'm sorry. I don't know how much lower you can go when you're a songwriter.
I mean, you could start doing, like, Holocaust jokes.
That's horrible.
One fish, two fish, burnt fish, two fish. I mean,
no. Oi, Gavalt. Cooper, what did you think of the betrayal, Act 3?
Yeah, it would have been nice if I heard the first two fucking acts, but no, I don't get Act 2. We get Act 1 at the end of the fucking album. Ooh, somebody's being creative.
I don't want to. I honestly don't know why they did this. I guess
because
when we listen to Act
maybe
1, maybe I can understand. I guess they're like, we've got to put this at the end. But first off, if you're going to say, hey, here's Act 3 and here's Act 1, it's like they're just begging you to ask, well, where's Act 2 at? Huh?
Maybe
there's
going
to be web pages dedicated to figure out what that is until they finally release it on the bonus disc so they can get your money.
Maybe they went to the Lucas school, the George Lucas school of numbering things.
Oh, they're counting down. They're counting down here. 3, 2, 1. Oh shit, the album's over. Thank goodness. But instead, they just forgot
like
two.
Yeah,
they wouldn't put them.
Come down here. He's like, what's so funny?
All right.
I can't tell if Coop's talking to us or if he's talking to somebody there.
All right. This next song is called Silent Majority, and it's our Trumpiest song.
Okay.
It's our Trumpiest song on the album. Do you have something you'd like to share with the group?
Is this song about Democrats? Because that's just what you said. It was the Trumpiest song ever, right? Now, what was the one big thing that everybody was crying about after Trump won the election? Now, listen, folks, I know I'm getting political, but it was the fact that everybody you know, a lot of people didn't get out there and vote. A lot of people didn't stand up and go make their voice heard. Well, thank you, Nickelback, for making me. Nickelback has a way of shaming people. And this is nothing more than them trying to shame us for shame people, not us. I say us. I'm talking about us guys. No, shame people for not getting up and doing something to change the world. Now, does this song invigorate you, Robert Cooper? Are you still there? Are you still on the line, sir? Cooper is not on the line. Mark Ratledge.
I mean, look, if I needed rich white guys from Canada to inspire me to be political, I suppose the song works as well as anything else, except that I don't. And it's very hard to take the song seriously when I know it's by a bunch of rich white Canadians.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the message is – but listen, if I were a middle-class white girl who, you know, who thought that Trump was –
She's being oppressed.
Being elected
– She's being oppressed.
Was going to be the end of my abortion rights, I suppose –
Fucking white people!
Here we go.
Sorry, I was driving the forklift and the manager was right there, so I couldn't exactly talk, but like, fucking white people, man. Damn, honky,
wow.
Oppressive honky crackers, the patriarchy.
Stand up and let your voice be heard.
Who knew that this podcast was going to be the most self-loathing racist podcast we've ever done?
Ooh, you want self-loathing? Just get me talking about women long enough.
Anything else about Silent Majority?
Silent Majority.
I assume this song is about the Electoral College.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, Trump has made politics like the new thing. Like, hey, that's how Saturday Night Live is popular again. Because politics, because otherwise nobody would give a high ho fuck about it.
Seriously, dude.
And same for that fucking Boss Baby. Fuck you, Donald Trump. You made that movie popular.
That's been on repeat here at the house, thanks to the kids.
Oh God, like I've never seen it, but just looking at it, it just looks like the kids fucking Trump. It's Trump Baby.
Well,
he's like cookies are for closers.
You should have seen the reviews. It's the Trumpiest movie of the year so far.
Oh, of course, but you know,
this is the soundtrack to Boss Baby. Hooray!
But does it trump all other films?
Oh boom. No!
So punny.
Yeah,
so punny.
I went there, but yeah, like seriously, I was watching. I went and saw an anime film, which, like. If we continue doing TV Party Tonight, goddamn it, I'm going to make y'all watch this movie. It's wonderful. But so I'm sitting there at the theater waiting for it to start, and, you know, they play the anime trailers. God damn it, there's more trash falling on me. And they show the Boss Baby, and when it's like a fucking small art house theater, when he goes put that, he's like, cookies are for closers. It's when put that cookie down. That is not your cookie. Fucking everybody just died. It was a good way to start Your Name, which was the film. Wonderful film. I fucking love it. We're going to have to review it someday. Just like me and Jesse are going to have to review more manga one day.
At some point, yeah.
I mean, hey, we got right, part one of Vinland Saga. One down, fucking nine to go.
Oh, wow.
All right, this is the last track we're going to play. I'm not playing the fucking instrumental, which is the Betrayal
what?
Act 1.
Are you kidding me? Betrayal Act 1? You're leaving that off?
Yes.
The one song where we don't have to deal with Chad Kroeger's vocals, you decide to leave off the podcast.
Not playing a fucking instrumental. No, we have 15 minutes left. I'm done. This is every
done.
Time we're together.
I'm back in my hometown, and Main Street's dying now. It's like there's nothing left. We're back there.
I seriously legit dozed off during that song.
Oh, hold on now. I have got Coop, if you want to talk about this song, you're more than welcome to, or whatever. I've got to go find the lyrics for Photograph and the lyrics for this song, because I swear to goodness, they have got to be almost identical. Coop's chiming right in there.
Let me
hold on.
All right, until he comes back from the forklift or whatever the fuck he's doing, let me go ahead and just give my overall opinion of the album before I pass out. It's a C. It's a solid C. I mean, it's, I guess if you like Nickelback, there's a lot of Nickelbacky songs on here, but I still can't get past those two terrible songs. Those two songs that were written like by a fucking first grader, "Song on Fire" and "Must Be Nice." They're so bad they drag down the rest of the album. Because without those, it's actually not that bad. I mean, as Robert Cooper said, if you like the Nickelback sound, then there's plenty of songs on here that capture that sound, and they do it well. I mean, it's not that bad of an album. But then you hear the "Song on Fire" and "Must Be Nice." It's like, wow, does that take the quality of this album down? They're that bad. They're like aggravatingly bad. So I'm going to go ahead and give this a C.
Yeah. Usually I have my thoughts written out here as to my overall take on the album. I did like a free little. Yeah, like we charge for this shit. I did a little preview review there earlier on your feed there, Mark, and I mean, I really gave this album a hard time. There are a few moments where you're just like, okay, this ain't so bad. Now, the thing is that if Nickelback wants to impress me, what they need to do is make me go, oh damn, this is Nickelback? What have I been missing? When I say that, whenever I come to that point, that's when I'm going to be impressed. Right now, I'm not. This album, I'm maybe revisit. I know we're going to have to revisit probably at some point at the end of the year some of the songs on this album, but I doubt it. I don't think there's going to be anything that really sticks into my playlist off of here. I did like the... what was that second one again there? Coin for the Ferryman. The Ferryman. The Ferryman, as Chad enunciates there in the song. But, and there's a couple other ones, like I said, have some bright spots. Overall, man, I'm just, it's not impressed. And where the hell is the Betrayal Act 2? Coop?
Ask George Lucas.
Ask George All right. Lucas.
So that's it on the Rattalism Broadcasting Network this week as far as live podcasts. Next week we've got All Transformers All the Time. We're going to be there'll be a Source Material Revolution on Monday, which is a Transformers G.I. Joe mask, Rom the Space Knight, the Micronauts.
Action Man,
who the fuck he is. On Tuesday, Damn You Hollywood, we'll be reviewing The Last Night. We'll be back on Wednesday with the Transformers, the movie soundtrack, which is the cartoon movie. And then Ronnie Adams will be on TV Party Tonight to discuss Transformers Prime Season 1. And I think they're doing a live Screaming Boy talking about all things Transformers on June 30th. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Either way, that's what we got going on next week. The week after, the first week of July, we've got the DC Looney Tunes crossover.
Oh, boy.
Our first of three shows. So it's going to be Ronnie's episode. We'll be, that'll be on Source Material. On Tuesday, Independence Day, we'll be reviewing Despicable Me 3, Damn You Hollywood. The Metal Hammer of Doom will get back to reviewing new albums, and we'll get back proper with Iced Earth, Incorruptible. And then Sean Comer will be back on the network with myself. We'll be looking at the new Genji Kohan show, all about the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, GLOW. So
nice.
That's a TV party tonight. So that's what we got going on in the next 2 weeks. We'll do more plugs as we, you know, as we progress through the summer here. That's all I got. I'm like falling asleep as I'm talking. So Jesse, go ahead and do your plugs.
Yeah, we'll make them real quick here, man, so you get some rest. Ladies and gentlemen, go give that Rattle Engine Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. We do MMA, we do wrestling, we do comics, we do music, like you just heard, if you want to call it that. And then we also have we have all sorts of stuff. We have all sorts of stuff, so go check that out. You can follow me at Stiznarchy on Twitter if you wish to do so. Mark Radulich mentioned Source Material. That's our comic book podcast we do on here. I have a great time hosting that with my buddy Mark. We just dropped Poison Ivy. I think you mentioned that. That was a fun time. We had a fun time discussing that. So if you want to check that out, you can do so at Source Matcast on Twitter if you want to follow it there. We also have YouTube. We do have a Facebook. We also have a YouTube. And me and a good buddy by the name of Benjamin J. Cologne talked about Craven's Last Hunt. Man, you talk about a great in-depth conversation. If you want to check out the unedited version, you're more than welcome to over there on YouTube. I'm going to get it chopped up and real nice and neat here for the network to release on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. We're on W2M.net over there on Spreaker.com. So we're all over the place, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight. I hope you enjoyed yourself. And I had a great time here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. Mark's sadistic ways win again. Make us suffer through one more time. I think this will probably be – this is up there on pretty evil for 2017. You're most evilest. I hope you don't try to outdo yourself, Mark Radulich.
Listen, man, we had fun tonight. That's the important thing.
That's right.
We made fun of white women.
We got political. Thanks,
we got
Nickelback.
Political. I called Nickelback gay a bunch of times. I'm sure I aggravated somebody. That's all right. You know, it's all in good fun. Speaking of all in good fun, I think we lost Robert Cooper. So for
fun
Robert
time,
Cooper,
fun time, Robert Cooper.
Who is currently driving a forklift and missing in action. For the disapproving dad, Jesse Starcher, I am passing out. I am also Mark Radulich, your mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified. We'll be back next week for Transformers. Until then, be well, be safe, and be happy.